It has so many things like desert, like areas, forests, or landscape, gorges. It's because of its beauty.
Lindile Nkuma loves his workplace, the Pondaland Wild Coast of South Africa. He works as a guide, leading tourists on foot and horseback to various attractions and campsites in the area. Riding horses along the beach, a group of Living on Earth listeners has joined producer Eileen Balinski and myself for a few days to sample an eco-tour led by Lindile. The Amadiba Coastal Community Trust has created these eco-tours as part of their efforts to bring jobs and income to the community without undermining the traditional culture or altering the landscape.
The beaches are just a fascinating asset. They're some of the most beautiful beaches I've ever seen.
Frank Jeffries is a Living on Earth listener from Illinois.
Long, wide, open beaches. No one there, with a big, beautiful dark green dune from the foliage behind you, and beautiful rolling waves. It's just a beautiful asset that they have.
We ride on beach after beach, making our way right at the edge of the surf. Soon our hot and tired mounts head over some grasslands and down to the Kwanyana campsite, which is next to a stream. At the camp, I check in with Michael Giles, head of the travel agency Heritage Africa that arranged the Living on Earth Safari. Michael has also donated safaris for some lucky listeners in exchange for underwriting credits. I ask him just why he recommended this trip on the Amadiba trails.
Well, the situation in Africa and in other parts of the world, but particularly Africa, is that you have very poor people that live in very beautiful areas with a lot of wildlife, and those things are of value to people from the West. But it's not of as great value to them because they are contending with how to feed their families and how to take care of themselves. So one way that the West can actually vote in a very positive way, in a very effective way, to preserve these fragile areas is actually to come and see them.
Morning seems to come awfully quickly for tired folks with newly bowed legs, but the smells from the kitchen are tempting.
Everybody, please, breakfast is ready. I've got soft porridge in here. I've got some cereals in there. I've got the homemade bread and some eggs in here. The ladies will be busy dish upping eggs on the table. So please, help yourself.
Spongile Hlonga is the Kwanyana camp director, and I ask her what difference the Amadiba Ecotourism Project has made for the lives of the people here.
Oh, it makes a very big difference because many families are benefiting in this business. Even though, let's say maybe you are not working personally. If you're having a horse, you are working here because your horse, if your horse is taking a tourist along the trail, we are going to get something, you are going to get paid. So it is making a lot of difference here in Komadiba.
So if you own a horse, it helps? Anybody else?
With other families, like me, I'm working here. I benefit, you see. I don't have a horse, but I am working, so I benefit here.
Soon it's time to round up the horses and get moving.
So the name of this horse is
Record.
Record.
Yes.
Like record, huh?
Record.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the radio business, huh?
Well, yes, I think it will be fine for you today.
I sure hope so.
The grasslands give way to red sand dunes. We follow another series of beaches as one day seems to flow into the next. At one point, we get off our horses to hike up away from the ocean. We scramble up a hill through some exotic vegetation and come out on a huge covered ledge, almost a cave, really, that's home to a troop of baboons. And since the baboons are out, our group settles on the ledge, overlooking a giant pool. But it doesn't take a lot of urging to get a couple of the more adventurous folks to jump into the water below. Along with the high adventure, there are ecological lessons, too. Passing by the M10-2 estuary late one day, we noticed palm trees on the north side of the river, looking a bit out of place from, say, the South Pacific. They're pondo palms, found nowhere else in the world. Back at camp, it's time to rest our bones and have some supper. Tonight's menu is chakalaka, a traditional South African specialty blend of beans, onions, carrots, and hot peppers. And under the clear, starry sky, it's time for that most ancient of human customs, stories and songs around the fire. A guide named Ru Nzonzo begins.
There was a boy who was called Yapi, and he was staying with his father and his mother. And then he was having the dog.
It seems that more than one culture has the tradition of the shaggy dog story, and this one is about a boy whose parents go away leaving him in charge. His dog has to defend the household from a dangerous lynx.
And they fought and fought and fought and fought, and it is said it was undistinguishable whether which one is the dog and which is the lynx, because all of them were red in color.
The story ends with Yapi's parents returning home, proud that their son had protected their property. They declare that he has become a man. And then Ru calls for a song. After 4 days on the trail, the Living on Earth listeners are leaving. Jenny Carter from Vermont says she's now concerned about the fate of what she calls, quote, one of the most beautiful places on Earth.
I hope they're able to meet their goals of getting enough people here to... they have a contradiction that they have to live with, which is wanting to preserve their culture, but at the same time having to bring people in from the outside to have a strong enough economy to preserve their culture. So they've got a real contradiction, but I guess the greater harm for their culture would be having massive development.
I asked Lindile, our guide, to look into the future, perhaps 20 years, and say what he'd like to envision for his people here.
Yeah, I would like to see my people getting educated. You know, there are quite few schools that we have here. The illiteracy rate is very high in this area. So many people are not educated. And people having clinics, there is no clinic in this area. When someone is sick, has to go to Port Edward, to Bizana, which is very far from here.
What would be your hopes for the land, the environment here at Pondo Land?
Yeah, I would like to see this place staying as what it is now in the next 20 years, if that would happen, but I would like to see it as what it is. This is the only place that we have in South Africa. There's no such place. It's only this wild coast that is still like this. All the coasts are damaged in South Africa, so I would like to see wild coast staying like this.
South Africa has already provided leadership to the world with its relatively bloodless end to apartheid and a strong spirit of racial reconciliation that is evident here and almost anywhere one goes in the country. As the third most biologically diverse nation in the world, behind only Brazil and Indonesia, much is riding on the success or failure of the attempts here to use ecotourism to bring about sustainable development. Coming up, adapting to global warming and climate disruption in the Karoo, the tea farming region of South Africa. I'm Steve Kerwood, and you're listening to NPR's Living on Earth. Shosholoza, shosholoza,
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and the Noyce Foundation, dedicated to improving math and science instruction from kindergarten through grade 12. Ford, presenting the Escape Hybrid, whose full hybrid technology allows it to run on gas or electric power. Full hybrid technology details at fordvehicles.com. The Annenberg Fund for Excellence in Communications and Education, and the Kellogg Foundation, helping people help themselves by investing in individuals, their families, and their communities. On the web at wkkf.org. This is NPR, National Public Radio.